Hello and welcome to Fraser 365. Thank you for taking this 56-day journey through the letters of John. No other writer in Scripture highlights the qualities of God's light, love, and life the way John does. These short letters will guide us into a stronger and deeper fellowship with the God who loves to shine His light into our darkness.
This is day 43 of the letters of John. Today's title is The Testimony of God is Greater. Psalm 18:30 says, "This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him." Psalm 50 verse 6 says, "The heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge." Our text today is 1 John 5, 6-9. It reads, "This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He has borne concerning His Son." While there have been various interpretations of the meaning of the water, blood, and the Spirit, two things are clear from this passage of Scripture. All three, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, agree in their testimony concerning Jesus. And the testimony of God is greater than the testimony of men. The need for multiple agreeing testimonies dates back to the Mosaic Law. In Deuteronomy 19:15, we read, "A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established." Thus, the emphasis on three witnesses found in the incarnation of Jesus Christ mentioned in 1 John 5:6-8 has roots dating back to the Torah. Three witnesses provided protection against false accusations. You cannot be convicted if falsely accused by one malicious witness. It is interesting to note that it was two false witnesses that gave false testimony against Jesus before His crucifixion. In Mark 14:55-59 we read, "Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put Him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against Him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against Him, saying, 'We heard Him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.' Yet even about this their testimony did not agree." During the trials against Jesus, the religious leaders couldn't find three people who could agree in their testimony against Him for an obvious reason. Our sinless Savior was an innocent lamb led to the slaughter. Jesus was falsely convicted by two witnesses who couldn't even get their story straight. But if three lying witnesses could get their testimony straight, an innocent man could be convicted. So, God's law contained a clause that challenged witnesses to tell the truth. A false witness in biblical times would receive the punishment due for the crime of which they falsely accused another. Deuteronomy 19:16-19. "If a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who are in office in those days. The judges shall inquire diligently, and if the witness is a false witness, and he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brothers. So you shall purge the evil from your midst." We discover that a testimony was not validated simply by the number of witnesses. The one critical requirement was the character of the witness. The testimony of God is always greater than the testimony of men, because God's character is perfect. Remember what John declared about God's character in 1 John 1:5. "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." Here are some questions to consider today. In a court of law, why is the number and character of the witnesses of extreme importance? How does it strike you that Jesus was falsely accused by multiple witnesses who couldn't even get their stories to agree? If we are willing to receive the testimony of men, how much more important is it that we receive the testimony of God? Who all testified about Jesus at his baptism? We read about it in Matthew 3:16 through 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.